ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
In our last class, we have completed up to the sixth section of the third chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad, wherein Bhrigu, taking the direction shown by his teacher Varuna, had realized, I am Atman, I am of the nature of Sat Chit Ananda, Sat Chit Ananda, I am Brahman. And with that, the Upanishad, main Upanishad is over. Anybody who follows the same instructions of Varuna, like Bhrigu did, he will also get the same results. So, how to progress in spiritual life? Through these hints, we come to know, actually it is an indirect suggestion, that Bhrigu had performed austerity. What type of austerity did he perform? So, we can understand this through the following vows, pratas, contemplations, upasanas. He must have done this because the very first step he had taken is and realized annam brahmeti vyajanat. He realized annam is Brahman. What is annam? The literal meaning of the word annam is food, but it means a body. Sri Ramakrishna uses the same word, kalikale manush, annagata pran. The entire soul of all of us is totally identified, fixed in the body. Anna means body. But through what we discussed before, we have to understand the whole universe is nothing but annam. And the meaning of that word annam is going to be expanded here so beautifully that annam means what? Whatever is experienced, that is annam. And then whatever is, whoever is the experiencer, he is the subject. So the whole universe, and that is what is called duality. Duality means division, the subject and the object. Experiencer and the experienced, the eater and the eaten, the enjoyer and the enjoyed. So what is the point here? The point is that one person is not an enjoyer and something else is being enjoyed. If we look at it broadly from the angle of the Upanishadic vision, we understand everybody is an enjoyer. Everything is enjoyed. Everybody is a supporter. Everything is supporter. So, enjoyer, enjoyed. Similarly, supporter, supported. Everything ultimately is nothing but Virat or the universal. And that is how the Upanishad wants to look upon everything as God. As Swami Vivekananda, seeing everything as God. Because everything is God only. That which comes from God cannot be anything other than God. So, Bhagavan had become both the enjoyer and the enjoyed, the supporter and the supported. We will come to that But in my last class, I said the best example to understand this is a dream example. Now, what is this dream example we are talking about? As we know, all of us go, every living creature goes through three different states of experience. Here, we are taking only the first two, the waking and the dream. So, when we compare, and almost all of us, whether we remember it or not, we will be having dreams in a particular state. In fact, we should not understand by the word dream what we understand, that you are imagining certain things and they appear in a very concrete form, and that is called a dream. Especially when our body is relaxed and when we forget the waking state and we are not in deep sleep, that in between state, between the dreamless or deep sleep and waking state, is called the dream state. Now, even when we are awake also, we are using the mind, and whatever we experience, we think through the mind, is also a dream state only. So I will explain to you very briefly, because you must be familiar with these ideas by this time, since so many years I have been trying to express those same ideas. So suppose you go to that state, you lie down and you want to take rest. Before you fall into deep sleep, you have a state where you have certain dreams, that is, certain of your imaginations take concrete form. You may be somewhere and you may be meeting some people, seeing some objects, etc. How did this dream come about? Do you think, is it something not related to the waking state? So, the waking state, whatever we had experienced before, and those impressions in the form of memory remain, and those impressions come in the form of the dream world. So there, the waking state is the supporter, and the dream state is the supported. But how do we experience the waking state? Do you think just we look at whatever object is there in front of us in the waking state and understand that object? Not at all. We have so many preconceived ideas, and whenever we look at any object, we see at the qualities, and the qualities are those things which produce certain impressions in our minds. Same qualities might produce opposite reactions within our minds. For example, suppose somebody had eaten a mango and thoroughly enjoyed it, the texture, the sweetness, the flavor, the juice. And when such a person looks at a mango tree and beautiful ripe mangoes hanging, he will undergo a particular emotional state. But supposing there is a person and he has eaten, maybe when he is chewing, a worm which was already inside the mango was also being chewed by him, which created a terrible bad odor, bad taste, etc. So such a person's impression about the mango will be totally different. And once a person has this experience, it is likely that he will view every mango through that particular light based upon his experience. This is how we have, even when we look at strangers, we already form an impression before we even experience their qualities in the form of words, thoughts, etc. This person looks very nice person. This person looks very roguish person. We have already prejudged based upon our past experiences. So what I am trying to tell you, that our thoughts are the supporter, and how we enjoy the world through the five sense organs, that is the supported. Our mind becomes the enjoyer. Better word would be experiencer. How we experience, with pleasure or pain, etc. That is what we need to understand. This is for the illustration. So the waking state, whatever we experience, we store in the form of memories, and that comes out in the form of dream. So enemies will be enemies, friends will be friends. What I mean is, we think some people are our friends. Maybe they are plotting against us, we don't know. Some people are our enemies. Maybe they are not really bothered about us. But what we decide, come to a conclusion, you know, we form an opinion about them, that becomes the pratishtha, the support. So the dream is the supported and the waking state is the supporter. Similarly, the dream state means thinking about things, tremendously influence our waking state. That is why some young people may say dream girl. Whether it is a dream girl or waking state girl comes later on. But what I mean is that certain opinions we form, certain thoughts we develop, they become the basis of our actions and our reactions. So the mind becomes both the supporter as well as supported, and the waking state becomes both the supporter as well as the supporter, the enjoyer as well as the enjoyed. So these are the two relationships, experiencer and experienced. Enjoyer and enjoyed is one relationship, supporter and supported is another relationship. And when we analyze the whole world, and we are part of the world, and yet we divide ourselves, I am this particular individual, and I am the bhokta, enjoyer, experiencer, as I said, is the better word, and the whole universe, 24 hours a day, from birth to death, is the experienced, enjoyed. Similarly, everything in this world, including the trees, and the birds, and the worms, and the bacteria, not to speak of human beings. So there is no such a division. I am a separate enjoyer, subject, and everything else is an object. Subject becomes subject, object becomes an object, subject becomes the object becomes the subject, and in the end, everything must be converted, must be looked upon as the body of the Virat. That is called annam brahmeti vyajanat. Everything is annam. If I am eating food, I am the eater, food is the eater. But when, as I illustrated, a mosquito bites me, an ant can also bite me, especially red ants. So, bacteria is there within us. So, it becomes a bhokta, enjoyer. But it also helps us indirectly. So this is a great truth. We become both the experiencers and the supporters. And in our turn, we also become the experienced and supported. And this interrelationship is a divine. And the whole body is there. Just one small illustration. So our hands are different. Our legs are different, eyes are different, every part of the body consisting of 10 sense organs, 5 of knowledge are what I call inputs, 5 of outputs called the organs of action. They're all separate from each other, but they're all supporter and supported, and we look upon them as one single whole body, and that is what makes us I. So, if we can look upon the entire creation as I, without any distinction, that is called seeing God in everything. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. That is the Upasana, this 7th Anuvaka onwards until 10th Anuvaka, we are going to see. So, this example of dream and waking. And even in the dream state and waking state both, the consciousness becomes the supporter. Without consciousness, we cannot function. And the consciousness cannot manifest without these instruments of the body as well as the mind. So without consciousness, we cannot experience anything. So consciousness becomes the supporter, enjoyer, and the body mind instruments, they become the supported. But if the body mind doesn't exist, then the consciousness cannot manifest. And therefore, the body mind becomes the supporter and the enjoyer, actually. So this is the relationship. So we will go through these upasanas. There are particularly 4 upasanas are there. We will go through them one by one. What is the essence of what we discussed? That the whole universe is nothing but the experiencer and the experienced. Both are the manifestation of Ishvara or Virat. So, the Upanishad takes a certain pairs and try to illustrate how both become experiencer, experienced, enjoyer and enjoyed, completely dependent upon each other. So let us, with this background, let us discuss these points. So 2 points we have to keep in mind. That one is enjoyer or experiencer experienced. Second is supporter supported. This is what it wants to tell us. So the 7th anuvaka starts here. Annamna nindiyat tadvratam. Pranova annam, shariram annadam, prane shariram pratishthitam, sharire prana pratishthitaha, tadeta danna manne pratishthitam, saya yeta danna manne pratishthitam veda pratitishthati, annavan annado bhavati, mahan bhavati, prajaya pashubhir brahma varchasena, mahan kirtya. So, let him, a seeker of Brahman, never condemn food. That is the vow. The prana is verily food. The body is the eater of the food. The body rests on the prana. The prana rests on the body. Thus food rests on food. He who knows this resting of food on food is established in the realization of I am Brahman. He becomes a possessor of, such a person becomes a possessor of food and an enjoyer of food. He becomes great in offspring and cattle and in spiritual radiance, and he also acquires tremendous fame. Now before we go into the details, what I wanted to illustrate is, this is called Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? Performing our duties in accordance with our stage in life as well as to the type of personality we have, for discharging our duties with the proper attitude as a worship of God is called dharma. That is called karma yoga. So if a person performs karma yoga, and we have to remember what we are talking here, Swami Vivekananda's beautiful book on karma yoga illustrates certain important factors. So in the very beginning chapters itself, let us recall 2 beautiful stories. One is an ascetic neglecting his duties. That means he is doing what he is not supposed to do, and doing what he is not supposed to do, neglecting what he is supposed to do. So he goes for begging, and then there was a house lady whose only karma yoga is to love her husband and look upon him as her god and serve him. And she had become very highly spiritually progressed. Beautiful illustration. So when this as a Brahmin ascetic stands, then she says, my child, even though he may be more aged, we don't know, my son, every male is a son. Every female is a daughter. Please wait a little. I am serving my husband. I will come. And then we know the story, how she came to know his entire mental condition just through the practice of that karma yoga called looking upon her husband as God. And then the next stage, she advises him to go to another village and meet another person who happened to be belonging to the lowest caste, who was a hunter, And as soon as this ascetic reluctantly went there, thinking, what can a low caste person teach me? Even Shankaracharya had to learn that lesson. Immediately, that person recognized, that means he understood, that means he had knowledge of what this person was, and then, please wait, sir, let me finish my duties, and took this Brahmin ascetic home, made him sit and wait until he served his aged parents, and when they were comfortably laid to rest, then only he came back, and there is a beautiful discussion. What is the point I am trying to tell you? Karma Yoga is not meant only for spiritual aspirants. It doesn't mean that only for swamis, sannyasis, sannyasinis can live. Anybody who wants to progress in spiritual life, in any stage of life, they may be students, they may be married people, whatever be the caste, svakarmanatam abhyakshya siddhim vindati manavaha. Marvelous idea. That is what is being said here with day-to-day examples in this Bhrigavalli. So there are examples of so many devotees who have no formal education, but out of the Karma Yoga, they had purified their mind and they had tremendous grace of God. That is what is most important for us to understand. So, all these vratas belong to Karma Yoga. And to explain this, the Upanishad here takes food as an example. And as I mentioned, food means experience. We have to understand this. I am looking at something, but most important, that what I am looking at is also manifestation of Brahman. And that object I am looking at also in its turn can also become the enjoyer and enjoyed. Every living creature can become supporter and supported. Especially we have to note one particular point. When we are talking about enjoyer and enjoyed, experiencer and experienced, we have to understand it as a living creature. And that living creature need not be human being. When a mosquito, for example, is trying to make us food, it is the enjoyer and our body is the enjoyed. When we are eating something or drinking something, then we are the enjoyers, experiencers, and what we are drinking or eating, that becomes the enjoyed. But the second type of relationship, supporter and supported, it includes the non-living also. So, for example, many scientists consider the earth as non-living and the water, river, non-living, etc. Metals, stones, non-living, etc. Can we live without mountains? In fact, the Arctic areas, how much influence they have in bringing about proper seasons, only scientists have understood it. As I mentioned, it is called holistic attitude. Everything, it is also called butterfly effect. Everything is dependent upon everything else. That is why the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the very first chapter, is called Madhukanda or Upadeshakanda. Madhu means interdependence. Everything is dependent. Parents are dependent upon the children. How are they dependent? When a householder, after marriage, begets a child, how much joy both the parents get. Their whole lives are centered around that child. So the child is, not only the child enjoys the affection, the love, the support, the food supplied of the parents, and the parents also, they enjoy tremendously the child smile, when the child smiles, how much joy they get. So, can we live without minerals? What is a mineral? Non-living. Can we live without stones? In fact, if we don't have stones or wood, our sophisticated houses, etc., will not be there. Many things that we prepare out of stones, out of wood, out of other ornaments, out of gold, everything is supporter-supported relationship. a whole creation in this sense of supporter and supported is a marvelous concept. If we can really understand, whatever supports us, that is God. Whatever is supported becomes a supporter. Whatever is supported becomes supporter. Whatever supports also becomes supported. So everything, whatever is supporting us, is a manifestation of God. Therefore, everything is a manifestation of God. That holistic attitude is what this Upanishad, especially this Bhrigavalli, wants to tell us. So what did Bhrigu do? So he went and then first his father told, from where the whole creation has come out. Yatova imani bhutani jayante, especially the living creatures. So find out, from where did you come? From your parents. Where from your parents have come? And then there will come a point when there would be one ultimate cause and every other cause becomes a secondary cause. The primary cause, which doesn't have another cause and which is eternal, unchanging, one without a second. It must take us to that. But logic will not help. Thinking will not help. Only contemplation with the grace of God can help us. So, karma yoga means starting and looking upon everything as God. That is what Sri Ramakrishna said, that what is this karma yoga? Shiva jnane jiva seva. So, jiva seva doesn't stop. Only serving the living beings, the whole environment, not harming even a single plant, single anything, living or non-living, just accepting whatever is necessary for survival, because we cannot survive without taking the life out of something. So if we can do that, then we can progress in spiritual life. That is the essence of what we are going to think now. So what is this ratam? The first one is annamna nindiyat. So annamna nindiyat. Never criticize food. Not criticizing food means simply I sit and eat. No. Look upon it. Ishvaraha sarva bhutana. Isha vasyam idagum sarva. Can I survive without anna? Impossible. So that which makes me alive, that is God. Many times I also explained, without which we cannot survive, that is called God. So can we live without food? Not at all. Can we live without water? No. Can we live without warmth? No. Can we live without oxygen or air? No. Can we live without space? No. Therefore, all these are nothing but emanations, manifestations, of direct manifestations of Brahman only. But we have to start where we are standing. That's why he says, what is it? Annamna nindiyat. Never ever criticize food. What is Brahmarpanam? Trying to eat food as manifestation of Brahman. Brahmarpanam Brahma Havihi. Brahmagnau. Who is eating? Brahman. What is he eating? Brahman. And who is digesting it? Brahman. Who is converting the food into energy? Brahman. And what is the purpose of Brahman? To enjoy himself. Tadvratam. This is a great vow. Vrata means, you know, Hindus have got lots of vratas. Every other religion also, they have got vratas. Muslims, for example, when Ramadan comes, they take a vow. We will not eat from sunrise to sunset. So those who do sincerely, they definitely get the result. Christians, they take a vow. We go on a pilgrimage and we wanted to go and touch the very embodiment of Saint Peter or other saints, etc. So these are all promises to God that I want to complete this action. That is, vrata is always like Satyanarayana vrata. I will not stop doing this action until I complete it, I promise it to you. So every spiritual aspirant must look upon annam means, let us take here, as physical food, none in the earth. Why? Pranava annam. Because what does food do? When we eat food, what is food actually? Food is nothing but energy. This food is nothing but conversion of sun's energy into eatable format. Plants have the ability to convert this sunlight into energy directly. But the same thing we have to do indirectly by eating the plants, by eating the plant eaters. That is our food, whether it is rice or meat, etc. So, what does it become? Prana, energy. That energy, anna, because pranova annam. Annam is nothing but prana. Prana is nothing but annam. So, shariram annadam. This body becomes eater of food. Prana becomes the eaten. Prane shariram pratishtitam. Sharire pranaha pratishtitaha. Let us take these two. Very simple to understand. Never criticize food, because food is nothing but indirect format, form of prana. So pranova annam. So prana, when we digest food, what does it become? Prana. What is prana? Vital force, energy. And then shariram annadam. Annada means eater. Anna means eaten, experienced. So this body cannot sustain without energy, which is called prana. So what do? We eat the food. What happens? That is digested. And what is digestion? Converting food into prana. And because of prana, and remember, the whole body consisting of 5 sense organs of knowledge and sense organs of action, they are our whole life. So this energy brings the body alive, makes every sense organ active. We can see, we can hear, etc. And we can walk, we can grasp, etc. So energy is needed. Now what is the relationship? So prana, only a prani, a person, a creature, alive, that can eat annam. So prana becomes annam. Shariram, the body, becomes annadam, the eater, the enjoyer. Because who eats? It is the body that eats. And then it converts it into prana. And that prana is necessary to keep this body alive. So prane shariram pratishtitam. So sharira, this body, pratishtitam. So that is the supporter. Because the body eats the food, so it converts the food into prana. Therefore, the prana, as it were, is supported inside the body. Because of this act of eating, the body becomes the eater. Sharire pranaha pratishtitaha. So the prana becomes supported within this body. But at the same time, how are we able to gather food? Because of prana. And prana helps us by energizing. I can walk, I can cultivate, and without energy, I cannot do anything. Even breathing is necessary to digest the food. So prana helps the body, and the body helps the prana. They have got inseparable relationship. So one is the enjoyer, another is the enjoyed. And in its turn, in this case, the body is the enjoyer, prana is the enjoyed. From another angle, prana is the enjoyer, this body is the enjoyed. They cannot be separated. So what does the Upanishad want to tell? That whenever you look at any food, a gross example, rice, chapati, bread, vegetables, or non-vegetarian food, whatever it is. So don't think I am the only exclusive enjoyer and this is all the enjoyed. No, everything becomes enjoyer and enjoyed. Everything becomes the supporter and the supported. Sharire pranaha pratishtita. Tat etat annam anne pratishtita. Both are inseparably supporter and supported. They remain there. And one who understands, not separating the enjoyer from the enjoyed, always looking upon both the enjoyer and the enjoyed, the supporter and the supported, as one and the same Brahman, which is playing both roles of the enjoyer and the enjoyed, experiencer and the experienced, supporter and the supported, that person understands. When this vision becomes holistic, then he becomes a holy man. Holistic attitude is the main characteristic of a holy person. He looks upon everything as what? You can call it as Brahman, as God, as holy, everything. Living, non-living, there is no difference at all. This concept, by the way, David Attenborough, who was famous for his the New Earth, etc., films, which the British Broadcasting, BBC, has so beautifully brought out, said everything has this relationship of supporter and supported. Nothing is wasted. And he showed it so clearly, how even the leaves that fall in interseason from the tree becomes the very fertilizer. And when they get rotten, and they breed lot of things, and they in turn support the plants. Everything a supporter, everything is supported. Even a little bit of science, understanding science, can prove it, definitely. So, what happens if anybody sees this inseparable relationship between the eater and the eaten, or experiencer and the experienced, the supporter and the supported. Everything is the supporter, everything is the supported, everything is the enjoyer, everything is the enjoyed. Saya etad annamanne pratishtitam veda pratitishtati, he becomes firmly established in God. And then, annavan annado bhavati. He is endowed with plenty of food and he also becomes an enjoyer of food. So the commentators, especially Shankaracharya, tells such a person becomes not only a possessor of food or enjoyable thing, the ability to enjoy it to the last degree. That means such a person, 100%, he becomes so hungry. Who can enjoy food? Only a person who is very hungry. Of course, in a general way, we can extend this meaning to everything that is enjoyed, whether it is a house, dress, a car, an aeroplane, or a drama, or a piece of music. Everybody, everything is mutually related. That is called Madhu, the sweetest relationship. Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi, Narayana, Rama, Sita, Annavan, Annadu, Annavan means possessing in plenty, whatever is necessary is provided by this very attitude. Who supports this? Only God can give that. And not only that, he becomes the enjoyer. Everything becomes a venue of tremendous joy for the person who develops this holistic attitude, holy attitude, that everything is God. We are devotees, we are supposed to do this one. Whenever we offer something to God, that is what we are supposed to. This is prasada. Prasade sarvadukkhanam hanirasya upajayate prasanna chetaso hi ashu buddhihi paryavatishtate. Such a person, if he is a householder, he will be endowed with great children or grand disciples, very capable, intelligent, receptive disciples. And then, whatever is necessary, Pashubihi. In those days, the wealth is cattle, etc. He will be getting plenty of this cattle. Not only that, Brahma Varchasena. Varchas means There would be a tremendous light. If this person will be endowed with light. That's why whenever we see pictures or these things, there will be a light halo painted at the background to show that one. Who can get this Brahma Varchas, light of Brahman? Only those who have got the knowledge of Brahman. And such a person will be known as a great person. Not of course by everybody, but most people will know about it. So if you read some of the Sufi masters, then you can see how much they have been tortured, killed, burnt, beaten. Even Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, how much he had to go through this crucifixion. What a pain. But some people may think that these are undesirable people, but in course of time, their name and fame goes on increasing. So let us start our spiritual life with sacralizing, sanctifying, looking upon that everything, especially starting with food. That's why Brahmarpanam we do before taking food, but it should not be the, it should not be stopped with looking only upon food. Everything that this body is also food. Our possessions are also food. Our very life is food. This world is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. Everything that we experience is food. Every food is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. And this is the relationship between us and the whole world. This is called Virat Upasana. One who succeeds in it, and Bhrigu succeeded in it, then he came. And then he reported, Annam Brahmeti Yajanat. But it did not stop there. So then, Prana is also Brahman. Prana Brahma. And mind also is Brahman. Mano Brahma. Intelligence or consciousness or egotism is also Brahma. We mistakenly think our egotism is my own personality. But no, it is nothing but Brahman. God implanted that idea, We have seen that in the Brihadaranyaka. That's why the first thing is he aham. So he understood, I am. And thereafter, only everything is added, I am so and so, etc. So such a person, he will be endowed with knowledge of Brahman. And Mahan Kirtiya, great people realize him. I was mentioning the Sufi saints. That means now these very people are being worshipped. By whom? By the whole world? No, not by the whole world. Only people who are spiritual. Only spiritual people can recognize, can venerate spiritual saints. But the other people, they might even consider them as enemies. Why was Jesus Christ crucified? Because his own relatives, his own people thought he was the greatest enemy, and not only enemy, but some of them even thought he was genuinely mistaken true religion, Judaism. So we should not keep a person who misunderstands our religion, and preaching that religion actively to other people is a danger. It would be a mistake to consider these people who are the very cause of Jesus' crucifixion are all selfish people. They are selfish people, but some of them genuinely believed that he was the greatest mistaken person, and he whatever he teaches is inimical to what God wants us to understand and practice. So that is how saints are misunderstood. Saints are killed, of course, sometimes, because these saints come as obstructors to our own glory, etc. They also openly, fearlessly criticize our faults, our misunderstandings, which in our blindness we cannot tolerate. Anyway, the essence of this seventh anvaka is, now first, whatever you see, it is nothing but manifestation of God, and manifestation of Brahman, and this manifestation of Brahman comes in two forms. both are one and the same. One is the enjoyer enjoyed, another is the supporter supported. If we understand this one, then there are some more examples are going to be followed, and there we can extend the same idea to those things also. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.